Well, let's don't talk about the weather this morning. Let's talk about the Bible. You know, the concept of trust is a concept from the Bible that's so easy to talk about, but it's very difficult to do. It's an easy subject to preach about, but it's very difficult to do. We can even find some old song standards like trust and obey. It's an easy concept to sing about, but it's not so easy to do. And I think especially in our generation, and I don't know really if our generation is any different, but especially in our generation, we see so much dishonesty and so little honesty. And it's very difficult to trust anyone. I know all of you heard this. There was a homeless veteran that gave his last $10 to a lady that had run out of gas. And they opened a YouFundMe account and raised over $400,000 for that homeless veteran. And they kept the money. In fact, I think the husband is still on the lam. Dishonesty. We wish we could trust everybody, but we can't. And look at all the scams that are being perpetrated in the name of religion and in the name of politics and in the name of everything else. And you know what really bothers me the most about these scams is they prey on our senior citizens. Senior citizens, I'm not far behind you. Need to be very careful with those things. And some of the major charitable organizations have now been called into question because they were paying themselves these exorbitant salaries, and so little of the money that was donated actually went to the needy. And we say, that's such a shame. Once again, wouldn't it be nice if we could just trust everybody? But it's not that way. In fact, someone said one time, never trust anybody that says, you can trust me. Never trust a restaurant that says best food in town when there's no cars in the parking lot at dinner time. Never trust anyone that says, don't call us, we'll call you. Or never trust anyone that says, I'll never tell anyone else. Or never trust anyone that says, especially if it's a dentist, you won't feel a thing. And never trust anyone that says, you shall not surely die, for God does know that on the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good from evil. And the list could go on and on and on. So in this world of distrust, the obvious question is, who should we trust? Who can we trust? Who must we trust? If we can't trust everyone, who is the one that we can trust? Well, fortunately for us as Christians, the Bible gives us the answer. Psalm 4, verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. That's who we can trust. Put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 10, they that know his name shall put their trust in God. There's the answer. Put your trust in God. Psalm 11, verse 1, I put my trust in the Lord. And what we will use as our text today, Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. In this lesson, I want to touch on three different points using the concept of trust. First of all, I've already gotten into it. How do we find the right person to trust? We must put our trust in the right person. My second point will be we must allow trust to bless our lives. That's what God wants. He wants this concept of trust and faith to be a blessing to our life. And finally, number three, we need to show evidence for the world to see how much we trust God. And let me add this, how much we trust each other. First of all, we must put our trust in the right person. Now, who is the right person? Is it our president? No. Is it Bernie Sanders? No. Is it Hillary Clinton? No. Is it Bezos, the world's wealthiest man? No. Is it the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the man who is over all of our military? No. Is it Warren Buffett or Bill Gates? No. Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Absolutely no. Who do we need to trust? There's only one answer, and that is God. Now, there are people that will listen to that listing that I gave and agree so far with everything I said. They don't trust politics, they don't trust military, they don't trust anything. But if you get down to ask them the question, who do you trust? They're not gonna think of God, they're gonna think of self. In fact, I've heard people say, I only trust myself. Now, I disagree with that, but I agree with the concept if they'll allow this caveat. We need to trust ourselves to make the right decision. We need to have confidence in ourselves, but there is a limit to that trust. There is a limit to that confidence. I say that because of what our Lord said. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. And he said, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And another translation said, their worship of me is made up of rules made by man. And Jesus was quoting from Isaiah chapter 29. We're very familiar with Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous forsake their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. For the Lord declares, this is what God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours and his thoughts are higher than ours. There are too many people, brethren, let's hope it's none of us, that try to outthink God. Oh, I know that's what the Bible says, but this is what it means. Or this is what I think. Or this is what I feel. Rather, what we think is God is who we trust. What we feel is love for God that surpasses all other loves. It seems obvious, Old Testament, New Testament. We humans just can't be trusted. We just can't be trusted. Human hearts are so deceitful. Don't you wish we never had to say that? But it's true. Human hearts are so deceitful. We say one thing and we do something else. And all the while we're saying, I love God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I know I should not be doing that, but I love God so very, very, very much. And then we admit we don't always live according to the standard of God. John says, if we think we are, we're deceiving ourselves. Therefore, we always have to be dependent upon God. We have to trust him. We can't lean to our own understanding. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We might even fall away. We have to listen to God. So the Bible says, trust God with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Brethren, we as human beings don't like to realize this, but we're weak. The Bible says we're weak creatures of the flesh, but God is strong. We seem to think we know everything. Brethren, compared to God, we don't know anything. We don't know how to save our souls if it weren't for God. We couldn't save our souls if it weren't for God. For God so loved the world that he gave what he loved the very most, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus and the word of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the authority of Jesus can have everlasting life. And we always need to read, I think, verse 17, John 3:17. God did not send Jesus to the earth just to twiddle his thumbs, nor did he send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent Jesus to give the world an opportunity to be saved. That's why we need to trust God. We often think wrong, we do wrong, but God is holy and merciful and loving. He will forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We need to trust God. Isaiah 26 verse 4, I want to read from the NIV. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is rock eternal. Second, we must allow trust to bless our lives. Let me reminisce for just a moment. They say the older a preacher gets, the more he wants to reminisce. I really don't want to do that often, but I do today. I remember when I was younger. I know those memories fade in and out, but right now I can remember when I was younger. And I was working out here at Union Carbide at the time for Brown & Root. I was in the construction trade. I was in construction. We were working 4 10 hours a day. And when my day was over, I would get in my car and I would drive to Victoria, and me and some of the guys in here might play a doubleheader of softball. And then I'd come home and I'd be back at work at 7:15 the next day. Can't do that anymore. But one thing that I know from being a Christian is this life is not the end. It's not all over when a Christian dies. It's not all over when anyone dies. This is not all there is. There's something better that's coming, something that is so good that even if we had a chance to come back, we wouldn't do it. We don't want to give up even 1 second of heaven when we get there. We need to realize that. Paul to the Philippians said, our citizenship is not in the United States. It's not in Texas. It's not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we earnestly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under control, will transform our physical bodies so that we will be just like him. We'll be just like him. So no matter how good your health is right now, it'll be even better in heaven. And God is going to wipe every tear from our eye. There'll be no more sorrow, no more crying. We're going to leave all those physical things behind. And I'll assure you, if you're over 25 years old and I ask for a show of hands, how many of you wish you felt better? Every one of us would raise our hand. We don't have to worry about that in heaven. That's why we need to trust God. We need to put our trust in God and let him bless us in this life and anticipate even greater blessings once we get to heaven. And finally, number three, we need to show evidence of that trust. We just can't keep our trust in God a secret. Had we continued reading there a moment ago, we would have seen that Solomon made quite an extensive list of how we should honor God. We should honor God with our words and with our life and so forth. We need to honor God. Well, if we trust God, we will let people know that we trust God. That's proof seen in the way we live. You see, there's a lot of our friends that will probably never study the Bible with us. Oh, how we wish they would. Probably a lot of friends that, unless something happens, they'll never visit with us in our church services, though we wish they would. But they're going to see the gospel of Jesus Christ lived in your life every time they're with you. Our life is the gospel that they're going to read. And if they see in us our trust in God, I believe with all of my heart, they're going to say, tell me about it. How can you get by in this terrible, terrible world? And there's the opening that we need. Once upon a time, there was a preacher entered the pulpit. He said, brethren, I got good news and bad news. He said, the good news is we have enough money to pay off the mortgage on our building. And the bad news is it's still in your pockets. Now, brethren, we realize that giving is a multifaceted thing. Yes, we're to give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16. Yes, we're to give of our talents and our abilities, Matthew 25. Yes, we're to give of our time, James 2. But if we simply give ourselves to God, all of those things are just going to fall into place. Financially, talent-wise, even our time, if we'll seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, we don't have to worry about those things. We don't even have to worry about the devil trying to drown me out. That's trust. That's trust in God. If we'll just give ourselves. We're all familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I now beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read that, though, from the contemporary English translation. Dear friends, God is good. So I beg you to give him your lives, to give them as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. And then you will know, this is why I want to read from this translation, then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. Brethren, I speak for all of us. I believe I speak for all of us. I better speak for all of us. We want to live a life that is good and pleasing to God. We want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to hear him say, enter thou into the joys prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We want to go to heaven, and we have to trust God. Let me leave you with a quotation and an illustration. And then we'll sing an invitation song. Ken is going to greet you if you need to respond. Someone once said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future as long as you trust a known Heavenly Father. And this illustration, if you're traveling on a train and you enter into a tunnel, don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train. Just sit there patiently and trust the conductor. Brethren, God knows what he's doing. We need to trust him. Now, there might be some who are here today who have never acknowledged their need to trust in Jesus. They're good, honest, decent people. They live by the principle of the New Testament, but they've never complied with what Jesus says. It's not what Shan says. It's not what this congregation says. It's what Jesus says. Jesus equates faith with obedience. Blessed is he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I will liken him to a wise man. So if we know what we're supposed to do, we need to do it. What are we supposed to do? Well, first of all, we need to turn away from anything that stands in our way. God wants all men everywhere to repent. Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We need to turn away. That's what repentance is, turning away from things that stand between us and our dedication to God. We need to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Unless we believe that He is the Son of God, we're going to die in our sins. That's what Jesus says. And then we need to be baptized, because that's what Jesus says. You know, a lot of people don't really realize what baptism is all about. They say it's an outward sign of an inward feeling. I will agree with that, but it's more than just a sign. It's when we have our sins washed away. And there's no way, according to Jesus, that we can have our sins washed away unless we contact His blood. And Paul and others, including Jesus, says we contact His blood in our baptism. Now, there are some that say we in the churches of Christ get hung up on baptism. It's almost like we believe that we're saved by baptism alone. No, that's not it. But Jesus says we need to be baptized. His disciples said we need to be baptized. Peter in that first gospel sermon said you need to be baptized. It is a feeling, but it's for a purpose. And the purpose, according to Acts 2:38, is to have our sins washed away. If there was another way to wash away our sins, I'd preach that. But there is no other way. So if today there's anyone who needs to respond in order to be baptized, or if you need to respond for any other reason, we'll be singing number 589, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. The only way to do that is by trust. So Ken will greet you. If you need to come forward, won't you do so as we stand and sing?